ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ऋषयो न चेते त्वमेव भाषीष विदाश्रयैपि सर्वं पृथक् त्वं निगमत्कतं विदत्ति उत्केन वृत्तं प्रभुना बलो वै। नैति सुरेशा ऋषयो न चेते त्वम् एव भाषीष भिद आश्रयाइपि सर्वं पृथक् त्वं निगमात् कथं विदेति उक्तेन वृत्तं प्रभुना बलो वै। लॉर्ड बालदेव सेड, ओ सुप्रीम कंट्रोलर, दीज बॉयज आर नॉट ग्रेट डेमिगॉड्स एज आई प्रीवियसली थॉट, nor are these calves great sages like Narada. Now I can see that you alone are manifesting yourself in all varieties of difference. Although one, you are existing in different forms of calves and boys. Please, briefly explain this to me. Having thus been requested by Lord Baladev, Krishna explained the whole situation, and Baladev understood it. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Inquiring from Krishna about the actual situation, Lord Balaram said, "My dear Krishna, in the beginning I thought that all these cows, calves, and cowherd boys were either great sages and saintly persons or demigods. But at the present, it appears that they are actually your expansions. They are all you. You yourself are playing as the calves and cows and boys. What is the mystery of this situation? Where have those other calves and cows and boys gone? And why are you expanding yourself as the cows, calves, and boys? Will you kindly tell me what is the cause?" At the request of Balaram, Krishna briefly explained the whole situation, how the calves and boys were stolen by Brahma, and how he was concealing the incident by expanding himself so that people would not know that the original cows, calves, and boys were missing. Balaram understood, therefore, that this was not Maya, but Krishna's opulence. Krishna has all opulences, and this was but another opulence of Krishna. "At first," Balaram said, "I thought that these boys and calves were a display of the power of great sages like Narada. But now I see that all these boys and calves are you." After inquiring from Krishna, Lord Balaram understood that Krishna himself had become many. That the Lord can do this is stated in the Brahma Samhita. Advaitam achyutam anadim ananta rupam. Although he is one, he can expand himself in so many forms. According to the Vedic version, ekam bahu syam. He can expand himself into many thousands and millions, but still remain one. In that sense, everything is spiritual, because everything is an expansion of Krishna. That is, everything is an expansion, either of Krishna himself or of his potency. Because the potency is non-different from the potency and the potent are one. Shakti, shakti mator abedha. The Mayavadis, however, say, sat-chit achit samanvaya, spirit and matter are one. This is a wrong conception. Spirit, chit, is different from matter, achit, as explained by Krishna himself in the Bhagavad Gita. Bhumir apo nalo vayu kam mano bhudir eva cha ahankara ithiyame bhina prakritir ashtadha apareyam mitasthvanyam prakritim birime param jiva bhutam mahabhaho yeyedam dharayate jagat. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and the false ego are together, these eight comprise my separated material energies. But besides this inferior nature, O mighty armed Arjuna, there is a superior energy of mine which consists of all living entities who are struggling with material nature and are sustaining the universe. Spirit and matter cannot be made one, for actually they are superior and inferior energies. Yet the Mayavadis, or Advaitavadis, try to make them one. This is wrong. Although spirit and matter ultimately come from the same one source, they cannot be made one. For example, there are many things that come from our bodies, but although they come from the same source, they cannot be made one. We should be careful to note that although the Supreme Source is one, the emanations from this source should be separately regarded as inferior and superior. The difference between the Mayavad and Vaishnava philosophies is that the Vaishnava philosophy recognizes this fact. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's philosophy, therefore, is called Achintya Veda Veda, simultaneously oneness and difference. For example, fire and heat cannot be separated, for where there is fire, there is heat, and where there is heat, there is fire. Nonetheless, we cannot touch fire. Heat we can tolerate. Therefore, although they are one, they are different. Om Agyan Timidandasya Gyananjana Chalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmoy Sri Guruve Namaha Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripasindubhya Evacha Patitanam Bhavanibhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Ajanulambita Bhujo Kanakatavato Sankirtanai Kapitaro Kamalayatakso Vishwambaro Vijabaro Jugadharma Palo Vande Jagat Priyakaro Karunavataro Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasri Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Lord Baladev said, O Supreme Controller, these boys are not great demigods, as I previously thought, nor are these calves great sages like Narada. Now I can see that you alone are manifesting yourself in all varieties of difference. Although one, you are existing in different forms of calves and boys. Please briefly explain this to me. Having thus been requested by Lord Baladev, Krishna explained the whole situation, and Baladev understood it. Here we find the Supreme Personality of Godhead revealing his mind to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. See how wonderful the Srimad Bhagavatam is manifesting the most illuminating subject matter. Here we find a discussion where God is speaking to himself. Lord Balaram, the original expansion, who is the original guru, is humbly inquiring from Krishna. This is why Balaramji is the original guru, because in this transcendental lila we find that he is humbly inquiring from Jagadguru Krishna, which shows us very clearly that even on the highest level, the bona fide spiritual master is one who is coming in this descending chain of parampara. In fact, Srila Rupa Goswami explains that whatever mantra, whatever knowledge we get, if it is not coming from the authorized parampara, it will not have that transcendental potency to deliver our hearts. And that is why the great acharyas stress this system of parampara very, very much. That whoever claims to be guru must be one who has submissively inquired and rendered service to that guru who is representing Sri Krishna in disciplic succession. If someone is not, they may have great power. They may have great knowledge. They may have extraordinary characteristics. But the intimate grace of God, which surcharges the soul and invokes pure bhakti, unalloyed service, is coming through those humble, saintly persons who are receiving and delivering the message of disciplic succession. So Balaramji is inquiring, O Supreme Controller. Although Balaram is the Supreme Controller, in the role that we perceive him as original spiritual master, he is accepting Krishna as the Supreme Controller. That is why we call him the original spiritual master. Spiritual master never claims to be God. Spiritual master claims to be the servant of God, always, eternally. Nowadays, it is a fashion for so-called spiritual masters to claim the position that they are God, that they are incarnations of Krishna. That means they're putting themselves in a higher position than Balaram. Can you imagine? Balaram himself is accepting himself as the servant and accepting that Krishna, you are the Supreme Controller. And Lord Nityananda, Balaramji, in his most merciful expansion, or not expansion, in his most merciful manifestation as the associate of Sri Chaitanya, he also was like this. Although he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead with all opulences in full, as Balaramji, as the original spiritual master, He never told people, worship me. Worship Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is my master. He is the supreme controller. Baja Gorango, Kaho Gorango, Laho Gorange Namre, Jejana Gorango Baje, Say Hi Mora Prandre. Wherever he went, chant the name of Gauranga. Remember Gauranga. Serve Gauranga. And any one of you who does this, you become my life and soul. This is the mood of a real Vaishnava. Simply trying to bring everyone to Krishna. And anyone who takes to Krishna consciousness becomes the life and soul of a real Vaishnava. This is love. The spiritual master sees that every disciple is his life and soul. And each God brother sees other God brothers, God sisters as their life and soul. This is the mood of Nityananda Prabhu. That anyone who takes the mercy of Sri Gaur Hari, anyone who chants his name, remembers him and worships him, becomes our life and soul. Nityananda never said, worship me. I am God, although he was the source of all other incarnations. All the 10 avatars, save and except Krishna himself, the Purusha avatars, Karano Dakshai Vishnu, Garbo Dakshai Vishnu, Shiro Dakshai Vishnu, Narayana Vaikuntha, Shankarshan, Arirudh, Vasudev, Prajumana. All of these most great, powerful manifestations of God are all emanations from Balaram. And yet Balaram is approaching Krishna as supreme controller, acting as his servant. And similarly, when Balaramji, when Nityananda Prabhu appeared with Sri Ram, he appeared as Lakshman. And what was his role then? Servant. Lakshman never wanted glory or credit. He just wanted to serve. You are the supreme controller, Ram. You are my Lord. You are my life. This is why Balaram is called the original spiritual master, because he is the supreme personality of servitor Godhead. He was always immersed in devotional service to himself in Krishna. And in this way, although we are insignificant jiva tattvas, we gain some powers or some knowledge and we start claiming that I am God. Who are we? I am that person that Lord Balaram, that Lord Lakshman, that Lord Nityananda is worshiping. My exalted position. The Vaishnavas see it this way. It is ridiculous. Therefore, the real acharyas, their life, their soul is simply to glorify Krishna, to glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Balaramji here is inquiring from Krishna. And it is explained that Krishna explains to him, and he understood it. And what is this that is being inquired? My dear Krishna, at first, perhaps, I was thinking that these may be great mystic yogis, or maybe demigods, or maybe even demons, indicating that yogis, demons, and demigods, they can perform all wonderful mystic feats. But Balaram explained, I can't believe it couldn't be them because they could not bewilder me. I can see through all these people. Therefore, it must be you. How is it that you are manifesting yourself in so many expansions and remain one? Parashya Shaktira Vivadaya Shruyate. Srila Prabhupada is explaining this is a very essential difference between the Advaita philosophy and the Vaishnava philosophy, which is very important to understand. Because in many cases, people appear to be Vaishnavas. People appear to be worshipping Radha and Krishna, or Sitaram, or Lakshmi Narayan. And they perform puja, and they chant japa, and they have kirtan and bhajan. And they appear that it is just like what we are doing. But in the final analysis, they are Brahmavads or Mayavads. In the sense that they do not have the information and the understanding that although God is one, he can expand himself infinitely and still remain one as the source. But the manifestations and the expansions eternally remain simultaneously, inconceivably, one and different. To say that God is the one source of everything, aham brahmasmi, everything is Brahman, I am Brahman, that is true. But do not understand the eternal differentiation is only partial understanding. This material world is material energy. It is coming from Krishna. Krishna is the source. Therefore, it is Krishna, but it is not Krishna. This is Vaishnava philosophy. It is Krishna because it is all composed of what is coming from Krishna. There is no element separate from Krishna. But at the same time, it is an emanation. It is not the source of the emanation. Srila Prabhupada is using the example that there is fire and heat. They are inseparable. They are one, but they are different. When it is cold out, you like to come very close to the heat. The heat gives you warmth. But if you touch the fire, you'll be burned. In the northern countries, houses are heated. And when it's very, very cold in the winter, everyone loves the feeling of heat. The whole house is just filled with heat. When the house is just filled with heat, it becomes such a wonderful place to be. But what if the house is filled with fire? It's not a very wonderful place to be. People evacuate and the fire department comes and they try to put it out. So there is a difference between fire and heat. There is a difference between the energy and the energetic source. Similarly, the sun. The sun rays are everywhere and giving us wonderful heat, but the sun planet still remains separate. One and different. The philosophy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Achintya Abheda Beda Tattva, according to the Shastra, is the most complete explanation of the Absolute Truth. The Jivatma is Krishna, is Sat-Chit Ananda Vigraha. So the Advaitavads, they consider, if the Jivatma is Krishna, there's no difference. We are God. We are the supreme enjoyer. And this material universe, it is all God. Everything is God. And we will serve, and we will perform our puja, and we will chant the holy names to purify our consciousness, to realize this oneness, that there is no differentiation on the absolute platform. Differentiation only can take place in the realm of illusion. And therefore, The spirit of eternal servitorship cannot be within such a philosophy, such a way of thinking. Jivara Swarupoi, Krishnara Nitya Das. The Vaishnavas, they are aspiring for eternal service because they understand the supreme truth is, although the Jivatma is emanating from the Paramatma, it eternally remains a separate individual entity. As an eternal servant, eternally a fragmental part. Mamaivam so jivaloke jiva bhuta sanatana manashishtan indriyani prakriti stani karashuti. And for that eternal part to revive its natural relationship with its source, that is the perfection of self-realization. And that can only be done, accomplished, through the process of bhakti. Through other processes of yoga, we can understand the supreme oneness of everything, which is a partial realization. We can understand many, many deep esoteric truths of this material existence and various concepts of spiritual reality. But to enter into the eternal constitutional position of the soul can only be accomplished through bhakti. Bhaktyamam abhijanati yavan yashasmi tatvata. Bhaktyatvananyashakya aham evam vidurjanam gyatam drashtam chatatvena praveshyam chaparantapa. Because it is only through the process of bhakti, the linking process of devotional service, that there is the true understanding and the true aspiration to enter into the realm of eternal servitorship. Yegatamam prabhadyante tamstataiva bhajamyaham mama vartmanu varatante manusya parata saravasha. Krishna says, as you approach me, I reward you accordingly. If we approach Krishna as the Supreme Master, the Supreme Lord, our supreme worshipable object, and that we are eternally his servant and aspiring only for the service of his servants, of his servants, of his servants, through that process, Krishna reveals himself as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Through all other processes, he reveals himself through various less inclusive manifestations who will not reciprocate divine love. How wonderful it is here to see in the pure spiritual abode of Vrindavan, Krishna has become each cowherd boy, each calf, and whatever Krishna does is perfect and complete from every point of view. One of the opulences of Krishna is he can perfectly fulfill many purposes through one action. And even in this material world, a person who can do this is considered a very great person. Huh? If you can do one thing and perfectly fulfill many, many different purposes. So here, we find the gopis. They are praying to goddess Katyayani, Durga Devi. We want Krishna as our husband. Not only do they want Krishna as their husband, but they're willing to do great tapasya to have him. They fasted for one full month. Katyayani Vrata, where they went to the bank of the Jamuna, and they worship the Murti of Katyayani. And in, during this time, they were praying, please, goddess, we want to serve Krishna as our husband. Because you see, the wife has such a wonderful opportunity that really she abandons, even by social rules, she abandons every other responsibility and just can put her full concentrated attention on serving her husband. So this is why the gopis wanted this relationship with Krishna, because there would be no one else in their life on any level. They could just give 100% of all of their time and energy simply for the pleasure of Krishna. This was their desire. So for this reason, they wanted this relationship with him. They fasted on this type of khichdi, without salt, without spices, once a day. To this day, Gaudiya Vaishnavas, oftentimes when they go to a holy place like Vrindavan and they make a vow not to travel, not to go anywhere for the Chaturmasya, and they follow in the footsteps of gopis, and they just take once a day a little bit of this unspiced, unsalted rice cooked and boiled in mung beans. At the end of that month, Krishna wanted to fulfill their desires. You have been to Chirgat on the bank of Jamuna. And there, when the gopis were bathing with their clothes on the banks of Jamuna, Krishna came and he stole their clothes. This is called gopi, what is it? Vahsana Harlila. He stole their clothes and climbed up that kadamba tree. And then he called out to them, gopis, you want your clothes? You come, get them. You must come with folded palms, and one by one I will give them. But we are without any clothes. This is not proper. How can we come before you naked? Krishna said, if you want your clothes, this is the only way you can get your clothes. We will tell Nanda Maharaj, or maybe we will report this misbehavior to Kamsa. Nanda Maharaj, he's an old man. What can he do to me? By this time, they were becoming very cold because the water of Jamuna, and it was becoming late. They said, Krishna, please. So they were having a wonderful dialogue for a long time, dialogue of love. So finally, they realized that there is no possibility of convincing Krishna, so we might as well go out and get our clothes. But as shy young girls, they were using their hands as clothes. But Krishna did not like that. So he said to them, do you know Varuna, the god of the water? He has been offended. You've been exposing naked bodies to him in his waters. And there will be very bad reaction unless you offer your obeisances to Varuna by putting your hands folded above your heads like this. So they were so innocent and simple, they immediately, oh, Varuna Dev. Then Krishna was very happy. And in Vrindavan, this people go to these trees and they like to hang cloth on that tree. And what it really means is that the soul is now covered by the dress of the false ego, the mind, the intelligence, and earth, water, fire, air, and ether. If you give up your false ego, automatically you give up all the other dresses. But if you keep your false ego, automatically you must be dressed and covered by all of these other material ingredients. So therefore, what this symbolized is that the gopis renounced, they gave up all separate desires. They gave up all egoistic conceptions. to let their souls shine naked before God to enjoy. It has nothing to do with material lusty activities. This is a pure spiritual exchange of divine love, of complete surrender and giving of one's heart and one's soul. But it is manifesting and expressing through this wonderful pastime. So in this way, it is said that a woman is never before her anyone except her husband without clothes. Now, I personally don't have any experience of these matters, but this is what the scripture says. So in this way, Krishna accepted the gopis as his wife, each and every one of them. But still, that satisfied them temporarily, because they had to go home. So by Krishna manifesting himself as all the cowherd boys, as has been explained, that year Krishna convinced Nanda Maharaj to have all the gopis married to the cowherd girls. And in this way, all those cowherd girls that worship Katyayani literally got to marry Krishna. Although they didn't even know he was Krishna. They just thought he was Abhimanyu or some other cowherd, Subal, some other cowherd boy. But actually, Krishna. And they loved him as they loved their husbands as they loved Krishna. So this is one way Krishna fulfilled all the desires of the gopis. At the same time, all the motherly gopis, the older gopis, and the older gopas, they all wanted, they loved Krishna so much. They were so happy just assisting Nanda and Yashoda in their service to Krishna. They loved Krishna as their own son. So Krishna allowed each older cowherd man and cowherd woman to have the loving exchange of directly being the father and mother of Krishna. So he fulfilled all of their desires, ultimately, completely. And all the cows, the older cows, their life and soul, their everything is only Krishna. How much they longed to just give everything to Krishna. So they were allowed to have Krishna personally as their own calf and exchange that same ecstasy of love 24 hours a day. So in this way, Krishna fulfilled everyone in Vrindavan's desires in full. This is perfect and complete. And at the same time, Brahma, on another level, and all living entities for all time to come, he wanted to teach a lesson. That however great you may be, we may have a family, we may have a few workers under us, we may have some factories, or we may have an office, or we may have a little piece of floor in the Brahmacharya ashram. We all have our domains, We have Natsi and Hridayananda, we have Tattva and Sanat Kumar. Everyone has their little bait. One has a big, nice house, hundreds of factories, thousands of workers. The other has a little piece of floor space and a bead bag and a kopan. But everyone is a controller. To some extent, Ishwara is. We are all controllers of something. Brahma, he is the supreme controller of this universe. He controls all the demigods. You know, we may have a good manager. We think, I have a good manager. But Brahma has people like Indra and Vayu and Varuna under him. They're good managers. Very top managers, He's the boss. Not only does he have a nice house, he has Brahma Loka. Brahma
Kamaloka, he lives for so many, he lives for the expanse of the entire creation. Such a long life, he has such beauty, he has such power, he never grows old. He never gets diseased, he never has to see doctors. And he lives in this Brahmaloka, and we read in the Bhagavatam descriptions of Brahmaloka. The most fabulous, incredible wealth in all of creation. Even Indra's palace is nothing and insignificant compared to the abode of Brahma. What to speak of anything in this world, in this earth planet, huh? So here he is, controlling all the affairs of this material universe. Not just the world, but the universe. With all of his deputed agents in all various parts of the universe. And sometimes we're proud that we have a nice family, big family. We like grandchildren, great-grandchildren. We think, oh, if I could live to have great-grandchildren, then it's a very successful life. Huh? But Brahma, he has great, 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 great. We can't even say how many great, great, great greats he has as far as grandchildren. We're all, every living entity within this universe is his great, 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 et cetera, grandchildren. Huh? Such a successful, powerful controller, so wealthy. Such a family, such potency. And yet Krishna wanted to show Brahma that before him, in reality, Brahma is nothing. All big, great people, in whatever circles of society they may be in, they like to demonstrate their prowess. Huh? They like people to know who they are, what they have, what they can do, their influence. Huh? So Brahma wanted to do like this. He wanted to show all the other demigods, he wanted to show everybody what I can do. He stole all the calves, all the cows. That's one reason. Another reason, he just wanted to, what is this Krishna, who is he? Huh? But then what Krishna did, is he expanded himself as all these cows, calves, and cowherd boys. And we're about to read tomorrow when Brahma came back to see what kind of mischief he has done. He wanted to see through his prowess and influence what he had, how much anxiety he had put others into. Huh? What type of a phenomena was taking place under his control. He saw that nothing changed. And then ultimately, he was bewildered. We're going to read how Brahma, did they leave the cave where they were sleeping? Are they here now? And he went back to the cave and then back. Oh, no, they're still here. Going back and forth. He was completely bewildered. He could not figure it out. And ultimately, when Krishna revealed what had been done, then Brahma understood that in the darkness of ignorance, a firefly thinks that he is giving off a lot of light. Huh? And other fireflies think, oh, this firefly is giving off a lot of light. Hmm? All the other insects in the sky, the mosquitoes, they look at the firefly and say, oh, just see, lights up the sky. Huh? And the firefly is thinking, yes, yes, see the power I have. See what I can do. Brahma said, I am like that firefly, and you are like the sun. In the darkness of my ignorance, I was thinking I am very powerful, I am a controller, I am influential, I am doing so much. But when the sun of your divine mercy rises, then I realize that what is a firefly next to the sun? Insignificant. Just like Srila Prabhupada, when of his very foremost disciples, said, Prabhupada, I am the most fallen. And he was thinking Prabhupada would be very pleased with him for saying like this, that I am the most fallen. And Srila Prabhupada could understand that this is another type of ego. He said, you are not the most anything. Then what am I? You are simply insignificant. That's all. This was Brahma's realization. That I am not the most anything. I am simply insignificant. Huh? That's all. And Krishna, you are supremely significant. Therefore, I surrender to you. Wholesale. Wholesale surrender. That means we don't keep anything back. Everything is yours, Krishna. Whatever power we have, whatever influence we have, whatever energy we have, whatever we are, it is Krishna. It is Krishna's grace. It is Krishna's mercy. Yesterday, someone was asking me after the class, how is it that if someone praises you and says nice things about you, what should you be feeling? And how should you express yourself? Should you say, oh, no, I am the most fallen? That's all right. But still, you did get that thing done. Huh? Someone says, oh, you are so wonderful, you have done this. We should simply be truthful. We should simply be honest. That I didn't do it. It is not my doing, it is by the mercy of Krishna and mercy of Gurudev that it has been done. That is true humility. To simply give credit to where credit is due. Huh? If God does something and you take credit for it, you're lying. If you say, I have done this, you're a liar, you're a rascal, you didn't do it, God did it. God did it through you. And that is his mercy, that he has chosen you, that he has allowed you this service. That is his causeless mercy. And it is Guru's mercy that the service you're rendering is allowed to be connected back to God. Huh? So this is real humility, just to be honest. Oh, Sanat Kumar, you have so brilliantly organized the permits for the Janmashtami festival. Yes, yes. I have a degree in law, and therefore I am qualified. You will never hear him saying like this. He will say, no, no. Krishna has done it. Gurudev has done it. I am just so fortunate to be a part of all of this. Huh? Or Devamrita Prabhu. Ah, Devamrita, you are such a good temple president. Look how nice organized people are. And everyone is coming and they're so happy to be at this temple. Yes, yes. I resigned from the Standard Chartered Bank with all qualifications. Therefore, yes, I am a proper president. Huh? I have master's degree. I'm coming from Saraswat Brahmin family. Yes, of course. What do you expect from someone like me? Huh? You will not hear him saying like this. You will say, no, no. It is all Guru's work. It is all God's work. I cannot even open my eyes. I cannot even make my heart beat without their mercy. I cannot breathe without their mercy. It is all their work. I am just so fortunate to receive their causeless mercy that I'm allowed to be a part of all of this. Huh? Which one? Like that. Natji, he is the managing trustee of the Lady Northcote Hindu Orphanage. Yes, by my mercy, you are here. I have manipulated things in such a way because, after all, my father was a great business magnate, and I have lots of influence and lots of everything, and therefore, who else could be a better managing trustee than me? Ah, no, you will not say like this. It is all Guru and Krishna's mercy. They are so loving and kind and causeless that they are allowing me to be a part of all this. They are allowing me to have some service in this wonderful mission. Sri Galim is writing so many wonderful books. Ah, yes, of course. I am literary man. I have read so many thousands of scriptures, so I am qualified. Never will a Vaishnav think like this. That it is by the mercy of Gurudev that I am allowed to repeat his words on this paper. Every Vaishnav should take the example of Lord Brahma in this story, that whoever we are, however great we may be, before God, we are insignificant. And Lord Brahma, when he realized his insignificant position, he gave up all of his idea that I am the controller, I am the master, I am the Lord, and he simply became the humble servant of the servant. Huh? And it is this Brahma, this concept of Brahma, that we worship as the original guru of our sampradaya. The Brahma who has humbly heard from Gurudev, Sri Krishna, and who is always selflessly executing the order of Sri Krishna. So in this way, Krishna has revealed to the whole world, because everyone likes to think that, look what I have done, look who I am. So Krishna wanted to date the topmost as an example for all the rest of us of what we all are in relationship to God. And to be Krishna conscious means to be conscious of our relationship with Krishna. So how wonderful. How Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. How he could simultaneously curb the pride of Brahma, give the supermost instruction to all living entities who want to aspire on the path of bhakti for all time to come, and at the same time fulfill all the innermost desires of the gopis who perform tapasya, to the cowherd boys, to the cowherd ladies, to the cowherd men, everyone. Krishna in this pastime is serving every possible purpose for everyone. Huh? But he serves another purpose by acting in such a way that is so attractive that ultimately anyone who hears this story with a submissive heart, the natural love of our heart will be drawn closer and closer and closer to the lotus feet of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Is there any questions? Yes.
The relationship between the spiritual master and the disciple, in which the spiritual master gives his causeless mercy to the disciple and he gets the full nectar by causeless mercy of the spiritual master. Now, after in the process, if the disciple, due to his past conditioning or due to his bad association or something, if he falls down or something goes wrong with him, then after that, what will be the attitude of the spiritual master for the disciple? He will try to reject him, or what will he do? And how to see to it that the disciple again gets the same causeless mercy as it was getting before?
That if due to previous conditioning, a disciple falls prey to sinful activities once again, and thus leaves the association of devotees to aspire for sense gratification, the spiritual master will cry within his heart, and sometimes with his eyes, he will cry for that disciple, pray for that disciple and pray that by Krishna's grace he will learn his lesson and come back. And as soon as that disciple comes back with jubilation, the guru will just embrace that disciple and say, "Welcome home." Just like, for instance, one wonderful devotee. He helped Prabhupada in many ways at the very beginning of the movement. And he left for some time, and Prabhupada was always praying. He was always asking for his welfare. He was always trying to bring him back, because he had a sincere and faithful heart to his guru, but he was just overwhelmed by the modes of material nature. Now, if a disciple, out of false ego, rejects his spiritual master, just like Srila Prabhupada, we use the example. When Hayagriva left for some time, this is the person I'm talking about, because of his previous conditioning, for some inconceivable reason, Prabhupada was always asking, "How is Hayagriva? When will he come back?" "My poor Hayagriva, he cannot control his senses." Even though he left the association completely for some time. But another disciple, he came to Prabhupada and said, "Prabhupada, I want your permission to go to another guru who's teaching something higher than you." And Prabhupada said, "I give you my permission to go to hell, because this offense is so bad that Krishna's going to send you to hell, and I can't stop you." And he told the devotees, to Hayagriva, he was telling all the devotees, encourage him, try to bring him back. To this person, he said, "Don't go near him, he's a black snake." Now, he was praying for him, hoping he'll come back, but in his capacity, it is such an offense. So therefore, it depends on how a devotee goes away. If a devotee goes away in a humble spirit, just, "I cannot do it," the guru will always be right there with love and devotion trying to bring you back. But if out of pride we become unchaste, unfaithful, and offensive toward the spiritual master, Prabhupada said, the relationship's finished. There's no more connection of guru-disciple. Even though Hayagriva was gone for many years, the connection of guru-disciple was still intact, 100%. It was just on standby. But when this other man said like this, Prabhupada said, there's no more connection. "I didn't break it," Prabhupada said, "he has broken it." So as long as we are faithful in our hearts, however fallen we may be, the guru simply cries and prays, trying to bring us back. But if we leave in an offensive way, minimizing the position of the Guru Parampara, then by doing that, we cancel the contract. We break the relation. There's nothing there anymore. Does that answer your question? Yes.
Maharaj, this is reference to Krishna and Krishna's holy name. We often hear that there's no difference between Krishna, the person, Supreme Personality of Godhead, and Krishna's name. Now, my question is this, that we know Krishna is full of these six opulences, unlimitedly. And also he is full in the 64 qualities stated in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, particularly last four qualities nobody else has. In which way would Lord Krishna's name have the same last four qualities and these six opulences. I'm not clear on that.
Krishna is none different than his name in all respects. All of the 64 opulences are fully contained within the name of Krishna. The name of Krishna is identical to Krishna himself. And that is why there are many names of God. Huh? And all the names of God are one. They are all absolute. But this is how we understand what is said in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that 1,000 names of Vishnu is equal to one name of Ram, and 3 names of Ram is equal to 1 name of Krishna. That they are all infinite. And what's 3 times infinity? What's 1,000 times infinity? It's all infinity. So from the absolute point of view, they are all one. But from the point of view of Ras, within that absolute realm, there is a difference between the name of Vishnu, the name of Ram, the name of Krishna, the name of Allah, the name of Jehovah, the name of Christ. They are all absolute. They are all transcendental. They can all bring us beyond the material realm to Vaikunth, to the name Om, to the spiritual stratum. But still, the name of God possesses in full the particular ras of that particular conception of God. Huh? So the name of Krishna possesses in full his Naam, Roop, Guna, Leela, and Jana. Jana. Jana means the devotees. Vishnu Jan, Krishna Jan. Huh? So in this way there's the name Krishna possesses the beauty of his form, which is Roop, his unparalleled qualities, characteristics, Guna, which includes the playing of his flute, huh? And Jana, his devotees, the unparalleled, unprecedented rasas and relationships that Krishna has with his devotees. And what else? And his Leela. The sweetness and the wonder of his Leela. So all of these 4 opulences that Rupa Goswami explains that not even Narayan possesses are all fully contained within the name of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And therefore we encourage all people of all religions to chant any name of God. But still we understand it, even in the absolute realm there is simultaneous one indifference. And therefore the devotees are very much attached and attracted to the names of Radha Krishna. Does that answer your question? And within, and also Dham, the Dham of Krishna is fully contained within his name. Within the name of Krishna, the whole of Vrindavan is contained. Everything is in the name of Krishna. And if we chant, as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taught us, Trinarapi Sunichina Tarorapi Shahishnana Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. When we could chant in that spirit, then all the opulences of the name are revealed to us, according to the jiva's capacity to perceive. Huh?
Yes. Maharaj, you had said that there are different sampradayas, some like they chant the names of God to reach the worship. Now, does that mean that just taking the name, like you said that the names of God, you just explained it, so much potency it has. Now they are doing all that, taking the names of God, but still we see a difference between them and what we see in a devotion service. Now does this mean just that just taking the names of the Lord, does not do fast purification. Just the names, just does it mean just taking the names of the Lord does not do fast purification?
I could not understand your question.
No. No, Maharaj. No. You said that there are different sampradayas. They chant the names of the Lord. They do deity worship, etc. Now, my question is, Maharaj, just doing these things, does, if they're taking the names of God, they should have been purifying very fast and taking to the pure path. But we see that still they are on the Advaita path or the Mayavadi path. So now, does it mean that just the names, by just taking the names itself, that itself does not purify one, do fast
purification? Because the name reveals according to how we approach the holy name. Krishna is also in the deity, and some people see the deity as stone, and some see the deity as God. Only if you approach the name with a proper service attitude will you understand the true essence of the name. If you approach the name as something material, the name will just, gradually it will purify you. Very, very slow and gradual. But according to your service attitude, the name reveals its true opulence. If the name is God, that means the name approaches you as, the name reveals itself according to how you approach Him. If we're chanting the holy name unconsciously, without proper spiritual training, then the holy name will just appear like you're just saying some mundane word. But if you're really trying to be attentive and really trying to be a good servant, then you'll actually start to feel the sweetness and the spirituality of Krishna's name.